Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Hallelujah. Hopefully, you got something to write with. Hopefully, you do that every day. But I'm about to make a statement that is 100% accurate and backed by the Word of God. Let me say that again, 100% accurate, backed by the Word of God. You ready to write? Five words. God doesn't need your money. Let me say it again. God doesn't need your money. That's right. God doesn't need your money, but we need His. First off, our money is really His money.
Deuteronomy 10, verse 14 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Behold, the heavens and the heaven of the heavens belongs to the Lord your God, the earth also, with all that is in it and on it. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The New Living Translation of Psalm 24, 1 says it even clearer, if that's possible. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. Need a little more scriptural backup? Exodus 19, verse 5. Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the people on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. Psalm 89, verse 11 in the Classic Amplified says, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them. Job 41, verse 11 in the New Living Translation says, who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine.
One last scripture, because this one comes from the Herring Translation. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. Psalm 50, 10 through 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, and all the sweet potatoes underneath. That's my translation. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. John of God, when we can fully understand that God owns everything and we own nothing, then it will prevent us from putting things in our possession into two piles, sacred and secular. The human tendency is to say that this belongs to God, sacred, and this belongs to me, secular. But in reality, as we've shown you through the Word, everything belongs to God. Second, God doesn't need our money, but He doesn't want us keeping what belongs to Him.
Malachi 3, verses 8 through 11 in the Classic Amplified Bible tells us, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you have withheld. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Are you ready? If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you so great a blessing until there is no more room to receive it.
The scriptural evidence on the spiritual directive to tithe and give offerings is so clear. It really is. But yet some people think, well, they don't understand the Word and the consequences of not tithing and giving offerings. They think the supply of money is limited. It's not. Though they'd never admit it, some people think money and things give them security, albeit a false one. Some people save every penny possible for Junior's college education or that new fishing boat. Sadly, many people have never been taught or properly taught about seed time and harvest. They think all the preaching the church wants is your money. Frankly, when it comes to finances, they're as lost as a goose in a blizzard. Now let's look at the reasons that you should tithe and give offerings. First, our devotion to God is a direct reflection of our willingness to tithe and give spirit-led offerings. God knows whatever you love, you'll support with your money.
Matthew 6, verse 21, in the Classic Amplified Bible reveals this. For where your treasure is, there your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers, will be also. The scripture doesn't say where your heart, your wishes, your desires, that on which your life centers will be there. It's there where your treasure is. It will be there.
The priority you've placed on God will be evident by the priorities you assign to your money. As Bev was reading that scripture, it stirred in me. Some say, well, Brother Harry, you teach this. Yes, but sometimes we just need to be reminded. And obviously the Lord thought today was one of those occasions, which is why we're doing this. Second, God views tithes and offerings as a way of worshiping him. Psalm 96:8, King James. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You know, I remember hearing someone say that the offering was our praise. That sounds nice, even spiritual, but it's not scriptural. The word offering is a Hebrew word, H4503, and according to Strong's, it means gift, tribute, offering, present, oblation, sacrifice, meat offering. The word offering is used 211 times in 194 verses in Hebrew Concordance of the King James Bible, and it is never translated as praise. So it's very clear that our worship of the Lord is much more than the praise on our lips and in our hearts. It's also what we bring to him in our hands. Third, God gives us the ability to earn an income and ask only for 10% in return. For those who don't believe in tithing, who think it's part of the old covenant, let me say that that's scripturally wrong. Tithing began before the covenant, and it's also in the New Testament, but that's another teaching. Here's the question. Is it worth the risk? Is it worth the risk to keep one penny out of 10, $1 out of 10, 10 out of 100? The consequences of not tithing and giving offerings is a closed heaven. It's not just worth the risk to live a life. Is it worth the risk to live a life without the blessings and benefits of being a tither and a giver?
Malachi 3, verse 10, the last part of it in the New Living Translation says it this way. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Fourth, our obedience enables the church to carry out its function. It can only rise to the level of those who understand tithes and offerings. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 2 through 3 in the Message Bible says, regarding the relief offering for poor Christians that is being collected, you get the same instructions I gave the church in Galatia. Every Sunday, each of you make an offering and put it in safekeeping, but as generous as you can be. When I get there, you'll have it ready and I won't have to make a special appeal.
Tithing is not a plan to increase your giving, but rather raise your standard of living and that of those less fortunate as well. Tithes and offerings allows the church to keep its door open, to extend its outreach to the local community and the world. Fifth, God considers those who do not tithe and give offerings as robbers.
Malachi 3:8, we've read it in the Classic Amplified Bible. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you have withheld.
When we fail to tithe and give offerings, we're robbing God. there's not a chance we'll be blessed. If we don't honor God's word, he won't honor our request. When we fail to tithe and give offerings, then we're robbing God. And there's not a chance, as I said, that we'll be blessed. Six, God never asks us to do anything. God never asks us to do anything he does not equip us to do. If he asks us to do it, he equips us to do it.
Hebrews 13, verse 21, in the Classic Amplified Bible. Equip you with every good thing to carry out his will and strengthen you, making you complete and perfect as you ought to be, accomplishing in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. God will never allow you to see a need without giving you the ability to fulfill it, if that is your purpose to do.
Seventh, in obedience to our tithe, he works to heal our situations and bring abundance to our storehouse.
Malachi 3, verses 11 and 12, continuing in the Classic Amplified Bible. Get ready to shout. Then I will rebuke the devourer, insects, plagues for your sake, and he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor will your vine in the field drop its grapes before harvest, says the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts.
When we tithe and give offerings, God becomes a business. Oh, hallelujah. Say it again. When we tithe and give offerings, God becomes a business partner who will take us to new levels of success that we never dreamed of. And by the way, do you think any other business partner would allow you to keep 90% of what the two of you make? I don't think so. Tithing and giving offerings isn't designed to get money from us, but rather to us. We need to remember, God doesn't need our money, but we need his. One day we'll hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, steward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Think about that again. When we tithe and give offerings, God becomes our business partner who will take us to new levels of success that we never dreamed of. And that question I posed, do you think any other business partner would allow you to keep 90% of what the two of you make? Think about that. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. While you're there, up at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. That's all we ever ask. Till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you, and thank you for your support of the ministry. Bye-bye.